As we remain standing, let us pray. Beloved Lord God, giver of life, may we recognize the divine seed in every person. Give us grace to be sensitive to all we meet along the way, blessing and encouraging one another. May we know that who we are is a reflection of you, the divine seed we bear. You are the sunlight of our hearts, the water that brings forth life. Praise be to you. Amen. Please be seated. So last Monday, I think it was the 17th, was Martin Luther King Jr. Day in America, in the U.S. And on August 28, 1963, Dr. King stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and delivered one of his most memorable speeches entitled, does anybody remember? I Have a Dream, yep. I actually listened to it on CBC Radio the day of. And I gotta say, it brought tears to my eyes. He was a really, really powerful speaker. And I think sometimes we forget that. And he ends it with this: from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God we are free at last. And the way he said that, honestly, I had tears. He's so powerful. The speech was a defining moment of the civil rights movement and among the most iconic speeches in American history. 3 years later, April 4th, 1968, on a balcony at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, he was assassinated. And Martin Luther King said, as citizens of a free society, freedom for all of us depends on responsibility by each of us. To secure and expand our freedoms, we accept these responsibilities as individual members of a free society. To be fully responsible for our own actions and for the consequences of those actions. Freedom to choose comes with it the responsibility for our choices. In the spiritual world and as followers of Jesus Christ, whose life, work, and purpose was to offer us the way to freedom, what holds us back from being fully alive and truly manifesting God's seed, God's life in us? When Jesus entered the waters of baptism a couple of weeks ago, he receives a change in consciousness. He was free and open to the Spirit of God in such a way that he no longer was held captive by the things of humanity. He was free from worries, anxieties, and cares about his reputation, his social status. He was no longer a prisoner of people's opinions or criticism. He was, as Nan Merrill writes, a hollow reed that his father could play a melody through. Jesus, the great liberator, gave his life and in death the opportunity for all of us to break out of our self-imposed prisons and to be free, to truly, truly live. And Jesus, with his blessed consciousness, was given God's vision that was unclouded by fear and desire. And in our gospel reading today from Luke, Jesus filled, Ron read, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He had just come from an encounter with Satan in a wilderness place. Here he had faced down and conquered human need for sensory satisfaction. Turn these rocks into bread. He rejected any need for power and dismissed any lasting urge for control of anyone or anything. So with his freedom and confirmation that he is to get on with his father's agenda, he begins from the start, his home turf. Goes home, and he begins to preach. He returns to Galilee, and reports about him spread through all the surrounding country. I bet you it did. He begins teaching in the synagogue, and we are told he was praised by everybody. So far, so good. And then he comes to Nazareth, his hometown, the place of his boyhood. We don't know much about Jesus as a child, although the Gospel of Thomas, which was found around near the end of the second century, has him apparently as a very precocious child who started his education early. The Gospel of Thomas is not included in our canon, but it's an interesting read. The hometown crowd gathered that Sabbath in the synagogue, and it was now seeing him in a different light. They're going to have to go from seeing him as a 5-year-old to a 30-year-old. It's like our own children. You know, you keep on seeing your 50-year-old child as a 10-year-old. The synagogue was not the temple where the priests were in control of preaching, teaching, worship, and sacrifice. The synagogue, people came to learn from each other. As a man, it would have been a man, would have volunteered to read a passage from the scrolls and then would sit down and explain what those passages meant, which is interesting. Barb, as you were reading Nehemiah, Ezra, the priest, stood up and read the book of the law. And then I think somebody else interpreted. There had to be interpretation because people didn't get all the nuances. So that's kind of what's happening here. So on this day, Jesus was taking his turn in the synagogue and he'd read, and then he offered an explanation. He stood to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This text would have been familiar to the listeners. It spoke of hope, of deliverance, a passage that reminded the Israelites that God was with them and that he still cared for them. They were reminded of their exile in Babylon, how God had brought them home, that God had freed the captives and brought release to the oppressed. This was their history. This was their narrative, their master story. And it was part, and it is part of the collective oral history of a peoples. It was their memories. It was like looking at a photo album and remembering what they had experienced and how far they'd come. They wait to hear it explained. And Jesus drops a bombshell. Oh, and by the way, brothers, when you look at me today, you're going to see this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Really? He's telling them that he is God's salvation in the world, and through him, God's deliverance and promise of hope has come now to the people. Jesus is making it clear then and now his mission, his calling, his work. He's setting the scope, the limits, and the horizons of his ministry. Further on, we didn't get that part today, the reaction was not positive. So how does this text fit into our lives, our circumstances, our congregation, our diocese, our personal life as Christians? How are we held captive? What is it that binds us? What is it that interferes with a grateful and thankful response to God's favor? I want to imagine us for a minute being held a prisoner in a dark dungeon, unwashed, filthy rags, and our feet shackled, our hands held by chains to the walls of this dark and dank place. And suddenly, get that picture in your mind. Suddenly there is a light, and we see Jesus who kneels down and undoes the shackles on our feet, and we have feeling again. And then he comes around and removes the chains that bind us to the wall. We were able to stand up straight, maybe a little wobbly at first. And then Isaiah 61:10, we were overwhelmed with joy in the Lord, for he dresses us in clothing of salvation and drapes us in robes of righteousness. And we notice that all the dirt that has accumulated on us over our stay in prison is gone. And we are clean. Our eyesight has become dim because of the time we've spent in the dark. But gradually we're able to see the gate. Our jail cell opens. And Jesus is offering his hand. And we hear him say, I love you. You are mine. Come and follow me. And I will make you whole. I will set you free. For in me and my heavenly Father has called you into freedom. And we take his hand. And we leave this place of despair and hopelessness. And we walk out of our prison and into the light of his presence. For Jesus has freed us. And all we need to do is believe in the good news of our deliverance into a new life. And we need to be reminded over and over and over again that God is always and forever with us and in us. And God is here amongst all the violence and in the pandemic and all the stuff going on in the world. And in his life, we are set free from ego's enslavement. All ego's illusions and traps of voices that want us to believe that we will never change, that we will never be good enough to be loved. To all that, Jesus proclaims today in this scripture, has been fulfilled in your presence. Free at last, free at last. I thank God I am free at last. Way down yonder in the graveyard walk, I thank God I'm free at last. Me and my Jesus are going to meet and talk. On my knees when the light passed by, I thank God I'm free at last. Thought my soul would rise and fly, I thank God I'm free at last. Some of these mornings, bright and fair, I thank God I'm free at last. Going to meet King Jesus in the air, I thank God I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Those are the words of that Negro spiritual. Let us pray. Holy and ever-living God, by your power we were created and by your love we are redeemed. Guide and strengthen us by your Spirit that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love and freedom, loving one another and giving thanks to you, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen.